This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ken Carmen in for Tiki and Tierney, another hour, 855-212-4CBS. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. And since the screen won't light up in front of me, I'll just tell you wonderful things about Rocket Mortgage. They're with you every step of the way. They provide a seamless mortgage experience, folks. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, remember, Rocket can. Was that close there, James? Was I kind of sort of near it?
Spot on, Ken.
Damn right. There we go, baby. Damn right. Coming up at 5:20 p.m. Eastern, 2:20 p.m. Pacific. Buckle up. It's going to be another Patrick Mahomes love fest. Got to get that part off my chest because Aaron Rodgers is right. He's totally right with what he said about Patrick Mahomes and himself and Matt Stafford and Brett Favre, but it's another Patrick Mahomes love fest. However, there's another caveat to that because I think that the greatness of Patrick Mahomes is going to cost him in one category in the long run, that coming up at 5:20 p.m. Eastern. Again, 855-212-4CBS, you guys from here on out, because the biggest story of the day in the NFL, and we got a lot of college football going on. North Carolina is taking the lead, 1:10 left to go in the second quarter. North Carolina leading Notre Dame right now, 17-14. So a couple of – I don't know if it's an upset alert or anything like that. Notre Dame played kind of tough with Jeff Hafley's boys in Boston College a couple weeks ago before they finally pulled away. But North Carolina, it's a great story with Mac Brown. Great story with them where they're starting to really put together a great season, put together a great program. Not there yet, as we just talked about with Bill Bender a second ago. Not where they want it to be yet, but on their way. And it'd be a great exclamation point to the end of Mac Brown's career, who ages like a fine wine, if he's able to put North Carolina back on that college football map. There was a little bit with Larry Fedora there. There was this long swath of not a whole lot, Butch Davis, and then things got weird. But Mac Brown has been the beginning and the end for North Carolina football. So that'd be pretty nice to see North Carolina back in a nice mix. They're 19th overall right now. So they've had a very nice season. But you want to see them, with some of the recruits they have, you want to see them do even more. 855-212-4CBS. The biggest story of the day NFL-wise has been the Ravens. Now, right now, and James, Tom, whoever you need to, correct me if I'm wrong, Cowboys-Ravens on Thursday, tentatively moving to the next Monday, December 7th, correct? Correct. Right, James?
Correct.
Okay. So Monday, December 7th, you get what could be a 5 p.m. game between the Cowboys and the Ravens. The game that was originally scheduled for last night, Ravens-Steelers, was moved to Sunday, 1 p.m. Now looks like it's going to be moved to Tuesday. Is the time specified yet? Do we know? Do we have a hard time yet? Anything there, James? Do we know? I'm sorry. I don't think we have any there. So there's been some schedules moving around. When I first heard this story, and I follow my buddy Andrew Filippone over there at 93.7 and Chris Muller over there at 93.7, the Fan in Pittsburgh, and even though we give each other a hard time, I love both those guys dearly. I saw them complaining. I saw Mona. I'm going, what are you guys complaining for? You got Joe Hayden is coming back healthy. You got other guys coming back healthy. Now, Joe Hayden got in a car accident earlier today. He said he was okay. His beautiful car. Can I tell you, one time we had a whole night of argument over Joe Hayden buying 6 cars with his rookie contract. People actually got that mad his rookie year over the amount of cars that he owned. Joe Hayden is a man who loves cars. His fine taste in newer automobiles. Doesn't like the classics like I would, but I'll tell you this, if I had Joe Hayden's money, I'd probably have 6 cars. They'd be classics, but he has fine taste in automobiles. I'll give him that anyway. By the way, it's supposed to be 8 p.m. Tuesday night. James, thank you very much. 8 p.m. Tuesday night for the Steelers-Ravens game. But you have I thought at first, well, you got Joe Hayden coming back. Why are you guys upset? And I'm thinking, well, everything about football is supposed to be rigid, scheduled. You want routine. And it throws those guys off. And also, I also remember what happened earlier this year with the Tennessee Titans game. And you felt like the Titans should have some sort of punitive damages that should be put on them, some sort of punitive discussion that should be put on them for what happened that week, where it looked like they had skirted by the rules, but they actually found a loophole there and how they were able to get together and practice. And we had to walk back some commentary on the Titans because we thought we were going to nail the Titans' ass to a wall. And it seemed, oh, well, I guess they found a way around it. They closed those loopholes up a bit here in the NFL, certainly with all the intensive protocols that they've been through. And I think if you're a Steelers fan and you are the Pittsburgh Steelers, you got to be frustrated. Again, it took me 90 seconds to realize. You want your rest at the proper time. You were supposed to have a bye week, which you're supposed to have during a normal bye week. You're supposed to have 4 days off during that week, 4 days where you don't have to come to the facility, four straight days off somewhere in that mix. And then you work out all week, you practice all week, you film study, you prepare for an opponent all week to be told, oh, well, this is going to be your bye week now. So now you have the Sunday off, but you've still practiced all week. Then you have to turn around and get ready for another opponent. Then during your normal bye week, then you have to take on Tennessee. You have to beat Tennessee, and they were hotter than hell going into that game. They've cooled off a little bit since. They were hotter than hell going into that game. Now you're getting ready to take on your chief division opponent. They're reeling. They're trying to make a statement. If they win this game, they get the cool people off. Hey, it's not as bad as with Lamar as you think. It's not as bad as great with Greg Roman as you think. And you have them on the ropes. You win this game, you basically run away and hide with the AFC North Championship. And then at 11-0, you're in a supreme catbird seat to get yourself that number one overall seat and get a legitimate bye week. Now you have to grind it out the entire way through. I understand completely why the Steelers would be upset, and justifiably so why they should be upset, to the point where I'm willing to, as a fan, and I'm going to get to the calls here in a second, I'm willing to, as a fan, go, hey, you guys want to make them forfeit. You want to make the Ravens forfeit. I'm with you. One small problem. What do I do with the Steelers? If you want to make the Ravens forfeit, put them at 6-5, go right on ahead. Hey, you guys broke protocols here. You had what I would call a lack of institutional control. You had a culture that seemed to be, and maybe we'll find out more, maybe they had more punishment for people who weren't wearing their monitors, who weren't reporting their symptoms, who weren't wearing their masks, the way that we hear with the assistant strength and conditioning coach here. Maybe they did do what they were supposed to do. But as of right now, it kind of looks like you had a pretty lax culture about it, and it bit you in the ass. And since you weren't able to play a game on Thanksgiving night, which is obviously a pretty big revenue night for the NFL and their advertisers and their broadcast partners, because now you're moving around games, because you're moving around schedules, now this affects the Cowboys. Not that anybody cares about the Cowboys, but it does affect the Cowboys. The Cowboys care about the Cowboys. Because of all this, because of what looks like your irresponsibility, you must pay, and you must pay dearly. That's all true. You want to fine them? Fine them. I don't know what type of money is lost, what type of revenue is lost. I'm sure advertisers are going to try to get something back, because Tuesday night at 8 p.m., that's still a nice night. You're the only NFL game on, but it's not Thanksgiving night. And if you're an advertiser, you paid for Thanksgiving night. You didn't pay for Tuesday later on. You paid for Thanksgiving night. And I could turn around and I could say to the Ravens, you have messed this up. You must pay dearly. Fines, whatever that might be, what heads may roll over this, and picks. And if I really wanted to, I could try to make it forfeit, because that's what a lot of fans want. They're mad. But that still doesn't put the money in the coffer for the football game that they want to get on TV. So they're going to try to get that on TV no matter what. And it might end up costing some players money in the long run. They don't want to do that. And even if they did, what do I do for the Steelers? Easy thing to say is, well, give them a win. Do I give them the win? I don't think I can. If this were high school or college, absolutely. I'm in the NFL, though. It's in the highest level of football they're supposed to be. This is the sport's highest level. We're not talking about school districts. We're not talking about colleges. These are pros. These are owners who own their teams, who want everything they possibly can get. And if one other owner even the Roonies, who are as powerful as it gets in the NFL, even if the Roonies get themselves a win, well, wait a minute. I'm Team X. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. We've had COVID just like every other team in the NFL, but we've done what we're supposed to do in terms of our protocols. Why aren't we getting a win? If you want to do it by win percentage and charge the Ravens with a loss, I'm with you. But I can't just give the Steelers a win for not going out on the field, not putting their players at risk like every other team has to when they earn a win, not having to outplay an opponent, not having to either hold serve at home or go on the road and challenge on the road. If you haven't done any of that stuff, I don't think in the NFL I can just say, well, you've won. I don't think I can do that. So it's a very sticky spot for what to happen, what happens to maybe not just the Ravens, but what do you give the Steelers if you were to ever have to do that? First and foremost priority, it's about getting the game in, and that's what they're going to have to do. The thing that I want to avoid is having it set a precedent for the long term, because I just don't like – I'm fine with Monday Night Football. If you wanted to move Thursday Night Football, move that to Tuesday, I'm fine. I really don't want Monday Night Football, Tuesday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Saturday late season NFL football, and then obviously Sunday football. I want to miss you a little bit. 855-212-4CBS. Nathan in Virginia, if I can click on him. He's been more than patient. He's next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Nathan.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. So, two quick points that kind of merge into one. This is interesting where we're at with the NFL now, because if we remember earlier in the season with the Titans and their broken protocols, we were all calling, or some, not all, I should rephrase, some were calling for, hey, give them the forfeit, give them the forfeit. And obviously hindsight 2020, but if you're hard on them back then, do we have this issue now with the Ravens and the Steelers? Now, we also are another, you know, kind of a turning point too with this. If we're hard now, we could possibly prevent any mishaps in the playoffs, and you really, really don't want any mishaps in the playoffs.
That's true.
Like you said, advertisers really want some big money there. And what I was telling your screener here is that I've actually liked part of the few, but I have big picture liked what COVID has done to the NFL, because it's forced the NFL to try to get creative and break off their rigidity of their scheduling and what is possible. And they have some new numbers now to see, hey, this is what Tuesday night projections look like if we did a Tuesday night game. It just makes them have to be more creative and less rigid. But with you, I think you need to, well, not with you, but my opinion is I think you need to come down hard to prevent teams, especially the playoff teams, from breaking protocol. And now you're missing playoff games, and advertisers are really not going to like missing playoff games.
Well, I think you're right about that. You think I'm being a little bit of a fuddy-duddy about the Tuesday night thing, though? Maybe I'm being a bit of a stick in the mud about that?
I think you are. I understand your point. Because I don't think next season we're going to have Monday night and Tuesday night, and that is assuming we're not going to still have COVID issues. But I think right now we have to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt and say they want to get the game in, because that's the easiest solution, because you don't have to give someone a loss. You don't have to give someone a W for not playing, because you make a great point. You can't just give the Steelers a W for not playing, but you can give, you know, like I said, make a statement. If you give the Ravens an L for breaking protocol, like, you are not going to have anybody breaking protocol when the playoffs come around, and that's where the money's at.
I'll tell you what, Nathan, it ain't nothing for me to give a team a loss. I think there's a lot of teams, especially where we're turning the calendar over to December. I think there's plenty of teams that are out there willing to roll over and die at any point during this next month, especially if they want to get a coach fired or they're counting down the days to their own vacation. I mean, this is the time, and a lot of former players will tell you, Thanksgiving, that's when the clock starts. If you're on a bad team, you just start counting down the days. Okay, I got four Wednesdays left. All right, I got four Thursdays left. I got four Fridays left. The only thing I think, though, the reason why I say I want it to be this way for no more Tuesdays, things like that, is I think that the NFL, I think football does very well with anticipation. Like, even if you're a Jets fan, you're just anticipating the draft right now. That's all. You get what I'm saying? So when I see more, all right, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, like NBA, it takes a little bit out of it. Does the same thing in baseball. But in football, I'm always looking forward to the next week, win or lose, or then I'm looking forward to the offseason or what moves I can make. There's always anticipation there. That's all. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. And Nathan, thank you very much for the call. That's the only thing I'm thinking of. If I start to do one on Tuesday, I wonder if there's a night of the week that you won't watch NFL football. I think that you'll probably watch NFL football at 3:30 a.m. in a totally different country. On a Wednesday, you'll wake up for it. But is that always going to be a good thing? Is it protected? You have a great product. You don't need to water it down. And I think because of this, yeah, you got to get creative. But if you make that the norm, I think you water down the product a little bit and take away some of the anticipation. It's still the NFL. It's still football. It's still number one. But you want it to be something that people really do look forward to. They got to see it. I got to see Ravens Steelers. I have to see how Lamar plays. Lamar's not going to be able to play Tuesday. But I have to be able to see how Ben Roethlisberger does. Is it old Ben or is it this new Ben who's this thinker, this leader now? Or is it going to be fly by the seat of the pants Ben that we've seen over the last couple of weeks here and there? You know, what type of play is that going to be? So I want anticipation. And even when you're a fan of a terrible football team, there's plenty of anticipation because you're looking forward to the offseason. Usually a Senior Bowl under normal times, a Senior Bowl, the NFL Combine, the NFL Draft, all the different cottage industry that leads up to the different stories about the NFL Draft. Who are you going to take? Are you in on a quarterback? Is your quarterback good enough? Well, now we have Arizona where they switched and they took a quarterback just the next year. They fired a coach. They got rid of the QB and look where they're at now. Like, you have that conversation that makes you anticipate, well, if Arizona can do it, why can't T-Mex do it? And if I pull back a little bit, I think that affects it. There's another thought to this, that the Steelers are chasing history, and I think they want to make sure they get this game in themselves. I'll get to that next. And get ready for it. We got ourselves another Patrick Mahomes Lugfest segment. It's Ken Carmen in for Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. Ken Carmen in for Tiki and Tierney, 855-212-4227. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico, they make it easy to bundle home and car insurance together. Having a home, folks, it's hard work. Get a quote at geico.com today. That's easy. Also, Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader with the early games highlighted by the Colts clashing with the Titans. Well, that's going to be a good one. Then in the late game, all eyes will be on the marquee matchup between Patrick Mahomes' Chiefs taking on Tom Brady's Bucks. Coverage begins at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, with the NFL Today. Sunday, the NFL is on CBS. Great job by James to make sure I get that read in, because it leads me right into what I wanted to say about Patrick Mahomes. James? Well done, baby. Tell America. You did a good job.
I got you, kid.
Tom did a good job as well. Both of you guys. Both of you guys just propping me up, doing a hell of a job here. Aaron Rodgers is right. Aaron Rodgers was asked a couple of days ago about Patrick Mahomes, and I think it wasn't at a Barstool interview that he did. I want to get my sourcing right. I think it was a Barstool interview that he did, because my computer just blacked out here for a second. But he had done an interview, and people bring up the sidearm throws by Patrick Mahomes and what he does and how it is. It's amazing. And Aaron Rodgers he kind of rolled his eyes at it and said, you know, he's done that. Brett Favre did that. Matt Stafford does that. In fact, I saw it back, I think, week 7 when Matt Stafford had done that. And there were people who said, you know, if Patrick Mahomes did this, the internet would be talking about this for 10 minutes. And they would. They would. And Aaron Rodgers is right. Aaron Rodgers might be annoyed, but the passing ability is right. Other guys have done no-look sidearm passes before. It's not just Patrick Mahomes. But there is a love of Patrick Mahomes that we have because this is the guy that we want to make into that role model. I don't think that players should be role models. I think that teachers, parents, guardians, grandparents, coaches, those type of people who are close to you should be role models. I think athletes are always set up that there's always something nefarious in the background and you should always guard yourself about it. My favorite player growing up was Albert Bell. First home run I ever saw in my life. Albert Bell, left center field fence, Cleveland Municipal Stadium. They beat the Texas Rangers 13-9. Albert Bell was my favorite player. Since then, Albert Bell chased down kids on Halloween who tried to egg his house. That part, actually, I defend him on. He left my favorite team, flipped off the fans, and recently, while I still like Albert Bell for whatever reason, his most recent thing was being discovered by the police, going number one at a spring training game with no pants on, standing there in the parking lot like he's Winnie the Pooh. That's my favorite player of all time. He's still my favorite player of all time. He's no role model. I'm glad I did not make decisions based on Albert Bell. Again, if you egg my house, I'm probably going to chase after you as well. But still, I'm not making decisions based on Albert Bell. Deion Sanders was my favorite football player. If you see a picture of me and you see a picture of Deion Sanders in his rookie year with the Atlanta Falcons, we couldn't be any different from one another. Still was my favorite player, not a role model. Patrick Mahomes seems to be all of it. Like, there is a feeling, and especially now because players are more accessible than they've ever been. There was no Twitter. There was no Facebook. There was a little bit of protection that the media would give certain players. Not all of them. We heard about ugliness from some sources and some media. But there was a little bit of protection. To get a story, maybe they wouldn't report on certain things. And because maybe they wanted people to believe in certain athletes, they wouldn't report everything. Maybe they let a couple of things slide. But that was then and this is now. And there's so many players who let us down. There's so many players who we build up. They can't handle it. They can't deal with it. They're not built for it. And they end up letting us down. And Patrick Mahomes seems to be a guy. And this is a love fest. Patrick Mahomes seems to be a guy who can handle it. Takes care of those around him. Has not let the success go to his head, has not freaked out on anybody in the media, has not freaked out about anybody publicly. I'm sure Patrick Mahomes has bad days, just like everybody else out there. I'm sure Patrick Mahomes and his fiance get in arguments, maybe every now and then raise their voice with one another. Doesn't mean that he's a perfect person. But it means that in a world where I'm telling you point blank that you shouldn't make athletes into role models because we don't know who those people are, Patrick Mahomes feels like somebody safe. In fact, he's so safe, the more he talks, the more you like Patrick Mahomes, including what he said about Tom Brady. And whether or not a torch was passed, Patrick Mahomes was willing to say, nope, not me yet, not a legend yet, not his status yet. And you know what? It's all true. If Patrick Mahomes' career ended tomorrow, he would be a Super Bowl winner, an MVP. We would maybe make arguments that he could have been the best to ever do it. But he didn't take the bait. He said something respectful. He did the right thing. Brady has his own picadillos. Brady has his own problems that we argue about. Whether or not he's a cheater, whether or not he really deserves it, whether or not it was Belichick or him who were the true architects of the New England Patriots. That's all for the fan to decide. But for the most part, we believe that Tom Brady has been the greatest of this generation. Maybe not the best role model at certain times, but definitely the greatest of this generation. This guy has the whole package. And if he continues to go down this road, I think that he will just not just be good, he will take over for Brady as the greatest to ever do it. And he'll be so good that I think that this is the reason why we leave him out of the MVP conversation. In fact, I brought this up with Jeff Kerr of CBS Sports just about 2 hours ago. I said to him, when I asked him who the MVP was, he said it should be Patrick Mahomes. You'll hear about Wilson. We've heard about Josh Allen. Great players in their own right, absolutely. Mahomes reminded us last week of just how dominant he is. What's that, his first ever comeback in the final minute? He's never had to do it, and he was still able to do it. When you think you beat Patrick Mahomes at any time, it feels like he can take over the game. He's become the LeBron James already, the NFL. We just expect it out of him now. And it would be easy enough every year when we look at the NBA. Without a doubt, LeBron James, with the exception of last year when he was hurt, LeBron James is easily the MVP of the league. Without a question. He's the most important player on a team that would not be nearly as good without him. And the Chiefs would not be nearly as good. Still got some talent, but wouldn't be nearly as good or taken seriously without Patrick Mahomes. And he's that much to the league. He means that much to the fan base. He means that much to the fan base, the children of the NFL. He's been that great. Every time we talk about Patrick Mahomes, I'm sure you roll your eyes in your car because it's always a big love fest. Because what do we have negatively to say about him? He's been to the mountaintop. It looks like they could go right back there this year. He remains humble. The woman he's getting married to, what, he's been dating her since something like seventh grade? We love to watch people fail, and then we decide whether we can build them back up. And so some people, certainly Raiders fans, don't like hearing me say all this great stuff about Patrick Mahomes. What am I to say that's to be negative? What are any of us to say that's to be negative? We have a real-life, what looks like superhero, but an actual role model in the NFL again. And it's been a long time since we could really say it. And a guy who knows it, he definitely knows it, and is still humble enough to say that he's not that guy. At least wherewithal has the wherewithal to say that he's not that guy. That's something in 2020. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Up next, I never thought it would actually happen, but it's another cautionary tale for the future and especially for Trevor Lawrence coming up this spring. It's Ken Carmen in for Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. Right now, it's the latest sports update with Erica Herskowitz. I'm going to get to David in Buffalo. I'm going to get to James Boccioni here in just a second. I got to talk him out of something. Ken Carmen in for Tiki and Tierney one final time. Time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today, the question is from Will in Phoenix. Ken, do you see it getting as bad for Scott Frost in Nebraska as it's gotten for Jim Harbaugh in Ann Arbor? It's already gotten worse. It has already gotten worse. They make up excuses to keep Jim Harbaugh, Michigan man. You know, Ward Manuel always talks, well, we need a Michigan man. We have ourselves a Michigan man and Jim Harbaugh. We will reevaluate at the end of the year. And usually, Jim Harbaugh, what's he average up until this year? 9.5 wins? What a Nebraska fan. A Nebraska fan would stab you in an alley for 9 wins this year. Or during a normal year right now. Because you only are supposed to play 8, so obviously that doesn't make sense. But next year for 9 wins, you better watch your ass if you're going by a Nebraska fan in an alley. Because if they think that they can get 9 wins by stabbing you, they'll stab you right now. It's way worse. Now, the comparison between the two, both go home. It's ugly for both of those guys. One has had a little bit of success. And if Jim Harbaugh, if or when they fire Adam Gase in New York and they called up Jim Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh raised his hands and goes, you know, it's been great. We've had a great run here, but he can see it maybe starting to close in on him. And he goes over to New York and we'll see what type of success he would have in New York or maybe even somewhere else in the NFL. You could understand it. If Scott Frost gets fired, he's a head coach again, probably somewhere else in time. But you better be real successful somewhere else. And I don't know where he would go to build himself back up to have that second act somewhere else. I don't know what he would do. Would he go back to the American Conference? Maybe. Would he go to Conference USA, Sun Belt somewhere? I'm sure there's plenty of places down there that would love to have him. The MAC would love to have him. Hell, he can go replace Frank Solich, be another guy down there at OU. He could go coach down there for the next 20 years, just like Frank Solich has. Frank Solich has done a great job down for OU. But I don't know if he gets that second opportunity at a high-profile place. This has looked very bad from the very beginning. And now the handling of the quarterback situation, McCaffrey, Martinez, what it's going to be. This is rough, and I want him to get a fourth year. I want him to be able to get to – if he can get to 6-6 next year, I think I'd be pretty happy with that. I think if he could get to 7-5, that'd be great progress for Nebraska. That'd be great progress for Scott Frost, and then you see what maybe he could do in a year 5. I don't think Nebraska should give up on him. As bad as this year is, and it's not a good year, as bad as it is, I don't think Nebraska should give up on him because I don't know how you replace him first off. It's not like there's a P.J. Fleck out there. It's not like there's a Matt Campbell out there. Jason Candle is still too young. Do you want Sean Lewis from Kent State? I'm thinking about Matt guys who could possibly go in. Just thinking off the top of my head, that's all. Maybe you have a better idea. Maybe it's a Hugh Freeze. I don't think there's a chance in hell at that, but maybe there's a guy you could possibly coax if you really wanted to do it. But to have that go wrong – I was just so hopeful that it would be more of a storybook type of feeling. Not that he would go and he would win a national championship and it would be Tom Osborne all over again. I wasn't crazy, but I thought it'd be a lot better than this. 10-19 and 1-whatever he is right now. Well, 1-4, 1-3. This is awful. This is awful. And you're in year 3, and you're supposed to, and COVID hits everybody differently, and it certainly ravaged Nebraska just like it has with a lot of other schools. But if you're in year 3 and this is what you have, you better hope that you get something going in year 4. But I don't have a lot of faith in it. I want to see him get a fourth year. I really want to see him turn it around. I want a good success story. But it's way worse for Scott Frost. At least when Jim Harbaugh's done, hey, I had some very nice seasons, got Michigan back where it's supposed to be, or at least on its way back to where it's supposed to be. Not where it's supposed to be, but on its way back, and he can go back to the NFL, because everything we talk about with Jim Harbaugh, they're all NFL problems. Ryan Day, Urban Meyer, Lincoln Riley, Dabo Swinney, even though Dabo Swinney's sticking his foot in his mouth every other day, but Dabo Swinney still. Nick Saban, they take quarterbacks, they make those guys into weapons. They create those guys. Jim Harbaugh was supposed to be able to do it. I'm just waiting for this quarterback that we don't hear about from him. And it's always the same problem. Those are NFL problems. If you're a head coach and you don't have a quarterback, unless you're a total mess in your own right, but if you're a head coach and you don't have a quarterback, you just get fired and we say, well, the guy didn't have a quarterback. It's the same thing we're saying for Jim Harbaugh right now. So it ends up being a good question, Will. It's way worse for Scott Frost because it's already going south for him. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/AskThePros or tweeting it at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter using the hashtag AskThePros. Think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. I want to get to David in Buffalo. Hello, David. How the hell are you?
What's up, Ken? It's been a while, man. How you been?
I've been well. Is this my golfing, David?
Yeah. What's up, bud? How you been?
Did you? I've been well. Did you get a hole in one the other day again?
Yeah, no, I had a hole in one. Yeah, earlier this week, man.
Wait a minute. If I'm asking Jeff Kerr about his 300 game, take me through the hole in one. Let's do it. Come on, tell me about it. How did it go?
Yeah, so what ended up happening was I was out playing at the course I work at, and I played the front nine, and I saw a couple buddies of mine who worked there. Like, oh, let's play a couple more holes, come on. And I'm like, all right, no big deal. So I went and played a couple more holes and knocked it in for an ace, man. And one of the guys I was playing with hit it about 3 feet before me. So it was really awesome, man. It was my second one, and hopefully it's not my last.
Is it? Let me ask you, is it hard to hit a hole-in-one or is it luck?
It's both. I mean, it's definitely hard to do because you got to hit a good shot, but it definitely takes a little bit of luck. So it's not easy, man. I mean, there's no doubt that you got to hit a good shot, but you need the right bounce, too. I mean, I've hit a lot of good shots over the years that didn't go in. So there's definitely luck involved in it for sure.
Okay. I just wanted to know that because, you know, I know a couple of PGA pros and – you're one of the guys out there, David, and I always kind of wondered that, and for whatever reason, I never asked any of you. All right, David, what else did you want to say, friend?
Yeah, so I wanted to jump in. I heard you talking about Mahomes and, you know, why he's the MVP and the best player. You know, this kid, you know, has come along so fast in such a short amount of time, and, you know, like, it was amazing how last year Lamar Jackson was the MVP and people had him on this pedestal and stuff, but Mahomes can make all the throws literally and physically, and, you know, he scrambles, but he scrambles, I guess, responsibly, I guess is the right term. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look around, you know, like a Russell Wilson and some of these other guys, you know, the way they not only play the position, but they know how to extend the play. And I think that's where Lamar Jackson's gotten himself in trouble because, you know, he's dependent too much on the scrambling, and Mahomes is a guy that can sling it from the pocket. He can move. But at the same time, he's more of a threat from the pocket, and that's where you got to be as a quarterback to really win big in the NFL.
You know, it's amazing because you bring it right to what I was going to kind of talk about with Joe Burrow as well here, David. And, David, I thank you very much for the call, my friend. 855-212-4CBS. He's right about that. When he talks about guys running, I just assume that someday there's going to be a really bad injury that happens to Patrick Mahomes. It's just like I assume someday there's going to be a really bad injury that happens to Lamar Jackson. Just like there was a really bad injury that happened to Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Drew Brees and everybody. Ben Roethlisberger, I feel at some point in every great quarterback's career, if you play long enough, you're going to have a season-ending one. And so that's going to be something that he'll have to get over because he already got dinged up last year. We remember that. But I think that if we wanted to make him MVP every season, we could. I feel that there's a lot of LeBron in there where – What is your team without you? Well, what is Seattle without Russell Wilson? Makes a lot of sense. In basketball, what would have the Golden State Warriors have been without Steph Curry? That makes a lot of sense. But if we're looking at the most powerful who can take over a game basically at any time, it would still be LeBron, and I still think it's Patrick Mahomes. You're spotting teams, well-coached teams, good, talented football teams. You're spotting them 10 and 17 and 24-point leads in the playoffs last year, and you're coming back on them. That tells me your power is unlike anything we've seen. There's great quarterbacks out there. They get down by 24, that's it. You can only ask him for so much. And he's got a great team around him, don't get it wrong, but there's still something that makes him special. And I thought we were going to see the same thing with Joe Burrow. And I'll end up talking more about this coming up 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. I bandied this about a month ago. And I said it's for entertainment purposes only. I didn't think it would get much steam. It did. I bandied it about just kind of, hey, this is for our conversation. I know they wouldn't do it. And I think if it were my team, I don't think I'd even condone it. But let's open up the conversation. And I talked about Joe Burrow. And any time that I hear a pundit talk about Joe Burrow, the first thing that comes out of that person's mouth is how tough Joe is. Oh, how tough he is. How he can do this and that. And he just stands in there and takes hit after hit after hit. And I agreed with all the pundits. The hit he took from Derek Barnett earlier this year in the Philadelphia game, I've not seen a head wobble back and forth like that since Mike Tomczak. It was awful. And it happened all year. And I did kind of, I made the, there was no kind of, I brought together an argument. I said, what if you were Mike Brown? And there's a radio show host in Cincinnati named Mo Egger, and he brought up that in 2026, their lease is up with the city. There is always a possibility that the Cincinnati Bengals, and they've talked to the city of Baltimore before back in the 80s, they talked to other cities before. I think Arizona was a conversation piece before with Mike Brown. This is a long time ago. And that could be grandstanding for the city, obviously. There's always two sides to these type of things. But when you have a lease that's up in 2026, you have to be thinking about the future of your franchise and what's going to happen with your franchise. And Joe Burrow, and a lot of people don't know about this when we talk about, Joe Burrow was tasked with not just taking over and bringing the Bengals back to prominence, maybe even saving Cincinnati Bengal football in Cincinnati. And it kind of hit me in the head. You got this guy who is tasked with doing all this. You're the owner of the football team. Mike Brown is not stupid. He knows that a lot of people don't care for him. It's easy for him to be the bad guy. But you have a tightening situation where people more and more distrust Zach Taylor. Carlos Dunlap's tweeting. John Ross is tweeting. Other players are openly talking about how they don't like the culture there. This is a dead team walking. And every day, Joe Burrow, or every Sunday, Joe Burrow went out there and got his ass handed to him. And I'm thinking, if you wanted to do it this way, you be the bad guy. Duke Tobin wouldn't be fine with it. Zach Taylor obviously wouldn't be okay with it. Joe Burrow himself wouldn't be okay with it. His parents wouldn't be all right with it. His girlfriend wouldn't be all right with it. Maybe she might actually be okay. Maybe mom would be okay with it. Certainly father, who is a football coach, wouldn't be all right with it. And his teammates wouldn't be okay with it. But you're the owner of the football team, and you have to think big picture. And you were a guy who was in that organization because it was your father who was in that organization when you had Greg Cook. We remember what happened to Greg Cook if you're a Cincinnati fan, where there's always a what if with that quarterback in that organization. And if you were Mike Brown, would you have the wherewithal, or maybe even the stupidity if you think it this way, to say that this guy is the future of the franchise, it's my team, I do not want him to play? I said there's always going to be a fear that if he gets hurt in December, and it wasn't even December when he gets hurt, if he gets hurt in December, then you're putting him behind the eight ball for the 2021 season. And now here he is behind the eight ball for the 2021 season. I didn't think at all that this would happen. I thought it was an argument for argument's sake. I thought it was a conversation piece that we could discuss back and forth. I have history amongst other teams. They made sure Steven Strasburg sat in Washington. It still paid off a few years later for him. They made damn sure he sat. They had a chance to go to the postseason. They made sure he sat. It has happened in sports in the past. And I'm told, well, he needs these reps. What reps does he need? He's getting his ass handed to him every game. He's getting his ass handed to him every play. Does he just need more of a beating? He's already proven that he's tough. I only needed Mankind to get thrown off of Hell in a Cell one time. I knew Mankind was tough. He didn't need to go back through the top of the Hell in a Cell the way he did next. I already got Mankind was tough. He didn't even need to go off the top in the first place. And after that, he really didn't even need to go off the top. I've seen Joe Burrow get his ass kicked every single game before this injury. Do I really need to see it anymore? He can make all the throws. He can run the offense. He can be the leader. And of course he wouldn't sign off on it, and that's the beauty. He doesn't have to. You're the boss. You could say, we want him to be ready. Well, that doesn't make for a good team. That doesn't make for a good team atmosphere. Most of these guys want out, and you want to get rid of them anyway. And the more I say it, even though this has happened with Joe Burrow, the more I'm hesitant to still even do it. There is a team atmosphere, and there's still, while I say this, and I feared for Joe Burrow, and overly so. Obviously, if I'm willing to bring this up, I was too fearful for Joe Burrow in his season and now his future, which is up in the air right now. That's major injuries there. Who knows what type of quarterback he'll be? Even then, I think, what do I do with that position in the future? I can't change anything because there's still quarterback after quarterback that I know many quarterbacks, all of them, if they have any sort of a career, will go out and have a season-ending injury somewhere and have a big problem physically somewhere, and they'll have to get over it and they'll have to perform. But the only thing I can think of is that while there's been so many rookies who've been able to go through bad teams and be able to handle the entire year, and we thought Joe Burrow was going to be able to, it makes me think of what's next in New York for Trevor Lawrence. Because if I'm Trevor Lawrence and I'm his family and I see what happened with Joe Burrow, you better make sure you have a plan to protect me, or I ain't going there. I ain't going back to Clemson, but I'm going to make damn sure and ready, like Eli and like John, I go to a place that can help me. Big thanks to everybody in New York, for Erica, for James, for Tom. I'm Ken Carmen, in for Tiki and Tierney. Have a wonderful weekend, my friends.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.